Isaac. All right? A lot of us are fooled by the fact that God did not let Abraham kill Isaac. Let me tell you the truth about life. A lot of times, the Isaac dies by himself. It doesn't even need Abraham's knife. And as far as God was concerned, that Isaac died. The one that returned with Abraham was a resurrected Isaac. Are you getting my point? Now, but I said something in that book, that actually what happens is that the flesh in reality now, you know, in our everyday experience, the flesh of Isaac may die, but you can't kill the spirit of Isaac. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, like Ezekiel, Isaiah was prophesying, I have spent my energy for nothing. That's what he thinks. I don't know whether you heard me. Yes, it did not produce immediate results. That's why I read that reference when I said God has books in heaven. Are you getting my point? Actually, every act is recorded in his books. And even though the man does not get immediate results, listen to me. Let me quickly say this, make this statement and I will explain it. Without his doing that thing, God will have had no reference to do the mighty thing that he, God, wants to do on the earth. Without Abraham carrying Isaac to the mountain to sacrifice, God would never have been able to sacrifice his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Even though the Isaac at that point did not save the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, there's something about godliness and acts of righteousness. They have spiritual power. They do. Listen, you invested, let's take that business as an example. You may think, and this is what temptations are. You see a man, he did that which was right. He labored, he acted upon his faith. He left a secure business, a job to start this business, and the whole thing collapsed. And you know, God reads the heart. God has looked at it. He has followed everything that is right to do according to the understanding that I gave to him. He has acted upon it. Yet the thing died. Now, this is the temptation of the devil. Men who are not walking with God will stand outside and point and say, that is the reason why we're not going to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He tried. He failed. They don't understand that he tried physically. Physically, he failed. But at the same time, spiritually, he was sowing the real seeds which can't die. Many years later, he becomes lucky. And people don't understand. He will go to a bigger business and do far better. Are you getting my point? And they won't understand that it's because he tried 10 years ago. I don't know whether you heard me. That's why I tell young men, young women, you like politics, go and take form to become a counselor. What if I lose? So what? You lose. That's good. But without contesting to be a counselor, you may never become a president. It might be that the excuse God will have to make you a president was that you dared to try to be a counselor. We've all heard the story of Abraham Lincoln. How he virtually failed in every trial he tried in politics until he tried to be president and he became president. There's a lesson in it. You know what God said to Isaiah? He said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to accomplish that vision that you have in mind alone. Now let me tell you something. I've said this before, you know, several times I've thought about it. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that works within us. Therefore, if you've heard me preach it, I believe it, and many people preach it, and it's very true, that what God wants to do in your life is far beyond that which you can imagine. Is that okay? So the question is that, why bother to imagine? It is not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of God. Why bother to exert any power or any might? Are you getting my point? Those are the issues. What am I saying? Having thought about it, finally, I got an understanding. This is how God does things.
He gives out talents. That's Luke chapter 19. Occupy with this until I come. Meanwhile, what he wants to do is to put the people in charge of cities. He gave them money to trade with. Then, depending on how they got results with the money he gave them, he distributed the rulership over cities to them. Therefore, can I conceive that I will be a ruler over 10 cities? No. But when I am given my talent, my mina, then I conceive how to multiply it 10 times. Then being a ruler over 10 cities is automatically added to me. I say to Christians, listen, don't exert yourself in things that are too difficult for you. It's unnecessary. God has given you, he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's a problem that you can tackle if you put enough energy every day. That is your job. Not the one you can't tackle. You get what I'm saying? The reason is simple. This is how God works. That little that the man is doing, we think, you know, Bible says that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen did not come out of things that are visible. That is, if you see a man getting great results, it's not easily explainable by the amount of physical energy he put inside. That's what he was saying. Are you getting my point? Now, we think that most of us, human beings generally speaking now, think that it's the energy they put in that produces those results. So if it appears like it is too small, the amount of results they can produce, they do nothing at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I preaching today? The little that anyone does actually is not a physical work alone. It is a demonstration of the faith, and let me use this other word, and the release of the spirit that the person actually has, allowing God, because you see, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. What those things do is that they allow God to do what he really wants to do, using your own effort as an excuse. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Listen, that is why, let me say this, just illustrate. I don't like wasting, maybe assuming that power is very inexpensive, as well, even to today in Nigeria, and when you have power, you could leave a bulb on in the afternoon. I don't like leaving it on. Not just because of what it will cost me. If I left it on, it probably cost me maybe one kobo, you know, that kind of amount of money that's very insignificant. But I put it off because it's not good to waste power. It's not good to waste energy. Now, I'm coming to something there. As small as that act is, it's speaking volumes, spiritually speaking now. And it might be what God will use to prevent my oil tanker from falling into the Atlantic Ocean tomorrow. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Listen. Anyway, let me focus on this. I will not be discouraged. Every act that's done is brought to judgment, right? If it is done in righteousness, it is done because it is right. Listen to me. The spiritual side of that seed is not dead. It can't die. That's why I tell, now, I know you're going to laugh a bit, but you actually need it. I tell young men, if you exerted energy chasing a woman, you know, you exerted recharge card, you exerted sleep, you know, midnight phone call, you know, grease sleep. You are exerted money, time, when everybody go watch Arsenal. You know how Arsenal is your brother. You did not go because you wanted to walk, take a stroll, because you say you won't marry. At the end of the day, okay, go pray. And the Holy Spirit just said, my daughter, that's not my will. You know this kind of... No, that's not Holy Spirit. He said, my daughter, that is not my will. You know, there are different kinds of Holy Spirit, depending on who he's talking to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Brethren, it's very discouraging. What I'm saying is not a feel-good phenomenon. It's the truth of life. When I ask men who are in godliness, who have tried such things, usually the wife they finally married doesn't give them any house. Do you get my point? The seed they sowed for 2 years. God said, don't worry, it's not wasted. It's a spiritual seed. She's in righteousness and holiness. Yes, eh? I will use that to help you chase the correct wife. So I tell you, don't be discouraged. It's kind of discouragement. He said, after all, my God, my whole heart. God said, it is not lost. See it here, I kept it. He said, he broke my heart. Don't worry, I've mended it. I've mended it. What are you disturbing me for? No, but what I'm saying is a matter of fact. Just a good way to illustrate it. The seed, you know, Jesus said like this. One person can labor and you enter into his labor. See, other men labored and you entered into their. That is, when it was time for them to get fruit, they were not there. And I gave you the fruit because you were in the right place at that time. What am I saying? Don't worry. As we are sowing seeds, physically speaking, and doesn't seem to be getting results, this is a matter of fact. Spiritually, those things are speaking in heaven. And God is recording them. And that's why Christians must learn how to do things in holiness and in righteousness. Not in selfishness and self-interest. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you did something because it is right, yet there's no result. Actually, you haven't lost anything. Nothing. A time will come that you will do nothing and great results will come. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why we will not be discouraged. Are you getting my point? That's why there's no need to be discouraged. That's why Paul said that when you are doing anything unto your earthly master, do it as if it's unto the Lord. Because from him comes your reward. You have done the man, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. After you have yes-sired him, like the story my wife was telling me this afternoon, you know what I'm talking about. One woman who claimed she served another for a very long time and the person did not help. She's angry and bitter. That's actually what will kill the reward. The anger and the bitterness. If you did what you did because you felt you were doing it unto the Lord, if Mr. A does not reward you, Mr. B doesn't reward you, God said, I call a bird of prey from the east and a man of my purpose, a man of my reward from a distant country who you have never done anything for. So that there are no accidents in life. None. None. No accidents. What you call lucky is blessing. A blessed man becomes lucky outwardly. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why Christians, you must never be discouraged. You give to a man, I mean, you exerted your energy, helped somebody to say thank you. Whoa. And there's nothing wrong with expecting a thank you. I used to say that, just do it unto the Lord. No, it's good to do it unto the Lord. Amen? But for somebody to tell you thank you is good. I have learned the habit properly. Thank you is crucial. How do I know? Go and read the Bible. Jesus healed people. Did he charge? When he was healing people, did he charge anything? He was healing multitudes. Though he never asked for it, when a man came to say thank you, he wondered why the others did not come. As I tell you, if you know something is right, do it too. He wasn't doing it because of the thank he wanted to get. Yet, when somebody said thank you, he said, now only you know say this thing good. Where the other people? So you've done something for people. You have exerted your energy. And nobody says thank you. In fact, I've seen a mental look. Tell somebody say, he said, but this woman helped you. He said, with what? Is it her money she helped me with? Is it not money that from her office? Don't worry. No, literally, the fellow I'm talking about is not normal. Not normal person. Listen to me. If you're in that kind of situation, don't let anybody discourage you. In fact, the Bible says, don't get tired. Don't get weary of doing good. Like I always say, God has never said, thou shalt eat breakfast. Have you seen that in your Bible? You know why? It is natural. When men are hungry, God has never commanded in the time of hunger that when thou seest food that appears pleasant to thy soul, thou shalt approach unto it and consume it in the time of thine hunger. Have you ever seen it? Why? That's what you are going to do anyway. He needs to command you not to eat it. So when he says, don't get weary of doing good, It means that is a natural thing. A man will have wanted to become tired of doing good. That is, the opposite is natural. So he commanded against it. He said, don't get tired of doing good, because in due season, you will reap your reward if you do not faint. Lack of understanding will make you get tired. They say, you don't even appreciate it. Don't help people. Don't help people. Human beings are very, very ungrateful. When you help them like this, they will turn against you. When you finish helping them, they think it is because you have money. Don't mind people. You know, Bible says that because of iniquity, the heart of men will become, the love of men will wax cold. My own love don't wax cold, though. This iniquity is too much. There are observations, there are commandments. The love of men will wax cold is an observation. God just observed that. Don't mind them. Their love will get cold. This is the reason. He didn't say you should queue up and go and buy ice and wax and, you know, pour it on your own heart. It becomes... No, that's not what he said. I've heard things like that. Don't mind people. Don't help people. People. They're very ungrateful. It is good for people to be grateful. Amen? It is necessary that you show gratitude when people have done good things for you. But if people don't show you gratitude, shrug your shoulders and look for the next 10 lepers and heal them again. You get what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? Now, like I said at the beginning, why is it that you are able to do this? It's simple. It is because of what you know. It is because of what you know. That's what I'm explaining. It's because you know that, listen, every good deed that I do, it is not actually the person. Go and read that tract we wrote many years ago. I think by this weekend it should be ready. It is God and I. It is not that person I'm doing it to. I'm doing it unto the Lord. It's not that person. So it depends on your gratitude. And because of the culture of Christianity that has been birthed into my heart by the Spirit of God, I can't stop doing that which I know is good. Because of somebody's ingratitude. Do you get my point? I will not be discouraged, and this is why. You are following what I'm saying? Listen, never look back over results you did not get as a result of something that was right that you did and have any regrets. It's not right. In fact, it denies your reward. You spoil things. It does. Yes, at that time, I used to be like this. I don't stop. Why? You don't know people. Listen, if you had learned that that thing is fundamentally wrong, you should stop. But if you realize, if you know till now that it's fundamentally good, don't stop. Let me say to you again, the reason why I said so is because there are two things. One, all those ones that you did, they are spiritual seeds. And when I say good works, now it's not only good works, I give money, I help somebody. Like I said, it could be a business I try to start. Are you getting my point? It could be a woman I try to marry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, all of them, the same thing. They are good works, amen? Why didn't you say amen? Amen?
Amen.
Waiting. Whichever one, if it is good, it is good. I will never have regrets for doing them, those things, just because it didn't come out well. No, I won't have regrets. If you have disappointment, what you do, you go and sit down, analyze your pathway, analyze the things that you did or did not do. How did I do it now? That is, with the word of God and prayer, analyze them. If everything is okay, fine, it's okay. That's it. So it didn't work, too bad. We move on. Isaiah tried to convert the whole of Israel. They didn't listen to him. But God said, listen, let's read that and then we're out of here. God said, listen, that thing you are really planning is too small. Verse 6. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. He said, where is it now? Yes, he said, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob alone. And to restore only the preserved ones of Israel. I'm putting the word alone and only so that you can understand the emphasis there. He said, I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. He said, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. He's speaking to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. That is the one that has suffered a lot of discouragement, whose works have not prospered. He said, this is what will happen to you. Kings shall see, a time will come, he was saying, and arise. And princes shall also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. He now said in verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Saying to those who are bound, go forth. And to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will be fed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them, and will guide them to springs of water. Let me just stop here, please. Now, what he was emphasizing here, which is what I want to just I read so I can conclude with that, is that as a result of that which you did, we did not get results. Are you getting my point? I will bring forth things bigger than you could ever have imagined into your life. That is summary. It was saying, this is a prophetic word talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the power to become sons of God. This is the point. He came unto a nation, that's what he meant by his own, Israel, and they did not receive him. But this is Nigeria. Are you getting my point? Far beyond the shores of Israel. Far beyond the expanse of what any Jewish prophet could have ever imagined is what God has done because of his sacrifice in coming unto his own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, we never be discouraged. If you have prayed and prayed and prayed, and I, you know, I say something all the time, prayers have two different... Before I say that, there's what the Bible calls, or what I call, prayer with reward. There's prayer with answer, and there's prayer with reward. They are not two opposing types, they overlap. A prayer can have reward and have an answer. But a lot of prayers with reward don't have answers. Now, let's know what I mean. What is an answer to prayer? Dear Lord, supply me a new shirt. And as I'm going tomorrow, say, praise God. Are you banking? The Lord just said I should give you my shirt. And he removes from his shoulder and gives me. That's an answer. Amen? What is prayer with reward? Jesus said that you see the Pharisees, when they want to pray, they go and collect megaphone. Allahu Akbar! They have their reward. That is, they go and shout outside. He said, verily, verily I say unto you, they have what? Their reward. What is their reward? They did it so that they might be seen by men. So that they will have approval and recognition amongst men. So that's their reward. He said, but you, when you want to pray, enter into your closet. And your father who sees in secret will reward you. Not answer you. There's a word of difference. Will reward you openly. This is what, how it is. Reward is not an answer. Reward presupposes that you did a good work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, what Jesus was speaking about exactly in that point was talking about the prayers for the redemption of Jerusalem. That's what he was talking about. But then we apply it to prayer of intercession. You take an issue and you pray about it. Now, there are two sides to prayer, I was going to say. Like, I've not gotten to it. One, God could give an answer to that prayer request. Sometimes there's no answer possible. Let me explain what I'm saying. Remember, Jeremiah was praying, Father God, you have, you know, Jehovah in heaven, you will have mercy. He said, which mercy? For who? Even if Moses or Samuel, senior apostolic prayer warriors, were to pray, I still will not answer. That prayer did not have what? An answer. But he had a reward. I will give you your life as a booty.
Go out and go and mark all of those who are sighing and groaning because of the iniquity that's in Jerusalem. Then the angel will go out and go, look, finally Jeremiah, mark. He said, go and destroy everybody else. So Jeremiah will see everybody falling. He's the only one standing. Why? Because he was one that was sighing and groaning because of the iniquity that was in Jerusalem. No answer. There's a reward. What is the reward? Preservation of his life. He did not pray for that. So there are people who will have prayed and groaned and desired grace for a nation like Nigeria. And some of the things that they are praying for, they haven't seen it. But because of that, God prospers them in business. In the midst of adversity, they are prospering. It's called reward. That's why I don't like ignorant preachers telling me that the man sold one sheet. Go to his house at night. He wets his pillows with tears for the amount of injustice that the nation is experiencing. Yet because of that, his own goods sell. His manufacturing continues. He always has gas to buy, even though gas is scarce. Nobody ties it together. That is a prayer with reward. That's why every act is brought to judgment. That's why the Christian is never discouraged. Never. For what? He's never discouraged. For all the thing that we did for him, nothing came out of it. Don't worry. For him, God was counting how he was receiving and nothing was coming out of it. But for you, God is counting how you are doing, regardless of what comes out of it. After all, Paul plants, Apollos waters. Only God gives the increase. God never gives anybody any reward for the amount of increase that came because of the labor of his hands. Because the increase is not his own labor. Paul said that every man will receive his reward according to his labor, not according to the reward, to the result. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why you don't have a reason to be discouraged. You don't have any reason. You don't have any reason. I want to crack a joke. So, he said, when you are persecuted in city, in one city, what do you do? So if you chase one woman, she not agree, flee to the next. young men in the house. Now I want to be going for a wedding, so I have to be teaching you these principles. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You see why we are never discouraged. Have you learned anything this evening? If you are blessed, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, before we close, therefore, because of this understanding, let's just bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. Now you know what to give him thanks for. You know what to give him thanks for. You know what to be giving thanks for. There's no reason to be discouraged in this life. No reason at all. That's why I titled my meditation this afternoon or this evening, I will not be discouraged. I will not be discouraged. No, I will not be discouraged. I will not be discouraged. The prayers of the saints are like incense being gathered into a censer. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. Shows that all these spiritual things, they have measures. They have measures. Sometimes what you are just doing is putting in your own share, your own measure into the total. And the time will come when the cloud will become full and will pour forth rain upon the earth. A country like Nigeria will experience a lot of divine release, divine power. But it won't be because of your prayer alone. There are men who died 20 years ago. They prayed for this country. There are men who died 100 years ago. They sowed their seed. Other men labored. Now you are about to step into their labor. And so if you expect to step into other men's labor, listen to me, there are labors you will also labor that other men will step into. Years to come, they will enjoy something that you sowed a seed towards. And how be it not knowing? You will put labor into a place. It's your grandchildren that will enjoy it. A friend of mine showed me some time ago something he read. Some of the great industrialists in Nigeria, he saw their history. He says, you see some of them, their fathers were catechists. Their grandfathers were catechists. It may not appear like much to us Pentecostals today, but remember the days of idolatry, to be a catechist was not a joke. To be a catechist was not a joke. But they labored. And men today are stepping into their labor. So give the Lord thanks. You shouldn't be discouraged.
Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm going to step into the labors of other people. And I know that my labor today, even if I don't step into it myself, my children, both natural and spiritual, will step into it. My descendants will step into it. Therefore, I'm not inconsequential. No matter how little I look like today, I may be complaining I have spent my strength for naught and for vanity. But I know for every seed I have sowed, a hundredfold is going to come forth. I like that song, The Land is Green. It's a good song. It's a very good song. For every seed I have sown, I may not be the one to reap it. That's one thing about Christians we should understand. It's not just us. Life is not just about you. As you expect to step into other men's labels, you are also going to put labor down that other men may step into it. Give the Lord thanks, therefore, that you are not inconsequential. You are important. You are not inconsequential. Every one of the billions of people that have passed the surface of this earth, there was a part of God they carried. There was. They were supposed to do something with it. Everybody, a lot of people think that prominence is what it is. No, it's not about prominence. It's about being faithful as far as God's opinion is concerned. So give the Lord thanks. That's what we're doing. Just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ.